The Chasam Sofer, I believe it was, had the minhag that when the first half of Av, when he would date a shtar, he would date it Chodesh Menachem Av, which is the correct halacha. You're supposed to, the official halachic name of the month is Menachem Av, but I was told that the second half of the month he would not date the shtar as Menachem Av. They hold from Tu B'Av and onward. It was a new face to the month of Av. It was Panim Chadashus Bo'olakan, and it would be he would date it just the month of Av. So we're starting the second half of the month of Av, and if the first half of the month of Av was the Shlosha, you know, for starting from the 3 weeks, we had the Shlosha de Paranusa, and now we're in the period already, we started with the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks of Nechama, leading up to the Yom HaDin, leading up to Rosh Hashanah. So we would think that why do we need the Shiva de Nechemta? We should have the seven Haftaras of Tshuva, 7 Haftaras of Cheshbon HaNefesh, but it's not so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, before the Yom HaDin, he wants to be Menachem us, he wants to bring us back closer to him and show us this the love that he has for us. So I thought in honor of the second half of the month of Av, maybe we would discuss a little bit of Inyane Geula and specifically the Inyane of Mashiach. So I wanted to start at least for the next 3 afternoons to try to have in the afternoon after Mincha Chabura for a short period of time on the topic of the various shitos of the Rishonim as to what the B'S Mashiach even is. It's one of those things, you know, we're very excited for the B'S Gold Tzedek, we're very excited for Mashiach to come, but the question is, what are we even getting excited for? We have to at least educate ourselves somewhat on the different, you know, so we'll try to spend maybe a day or a half on the Shita of the Rambam as found in the Pirush Mishnayos and Mishneh Torah, and maybe we'll do some of the opposing sheets, maybe we'll do the Yad Ramaz rebuttal of the Rambam's introduction to Perek Chelik, maybe we'll do the Sheet of the Ramchal as found in Derech Hashem. We'll try to do a couple of different opinions as to what the Sheet of the Mashiach is. So that's just a public service announcement. Hopefully we'll start with that Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Just wanted to talk a little bit in honor of Visiting Day, a little bit about the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ve'Eim, and specifically regalachas type lum, there's nothing concrete, and you can argue with pretty much everything except the stuff that I'm going to say, that's halachos psukos. You can argue with pretty much every idea that I'm going to say over, but just to give a perspective, maybe through a few different ways of viewing the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ve'Eim. So I'm going to springboard off of some halachas in Siman Reish Mem in Yoredeya, which is where Hilchos Kibbutz Ve'Eim is found. And again, I want to be something, at least you could say Birchas HaTorah on from this shir. So I'll quote you the halachas from the Shulchan Aruch, and then maybe we'll expand upon them a little bit. So for starters, as you know, the first sif in Hilchos Kibbutz Ve'Eim and Shulchan Aruch is Tzarich Lizaher Ma'od B'Kibud Aviv V'Imo U'V'Mora'om. You have to be very careful with the honor and fear of your parents. Right then, the Ramah just throws in a side point. They say, despite this, Beis Din does not force a person to be Mekayim Kibbutz Ve'Eim. If it's known that there's some Nudnik in town who doesn't want to, let's say, take the Dalet Minim, and he's standing there in public, and he's saying, all of the rest of you are taking Lulavim and Esrogim, this Sukkis, and I'm refusing to do so. So the Beis Din has the right, if they have the power, they have the right to force him to be Mekayim the mitzvah. But when it comes to mitzvah of Kibbutz Ve'Eim, the Beis Din does not have the right to force him to be Mekayim Kibbutz Ve'Eim. Even if the mom goes to court and she says, my son doesn't listen to me, you should really come and beat him up and tell him he has to listen to me. So the Beis Din is not allowed to force him. What's the reason for that? Anybody know the reason for that? That's why it's a special category of halacha called mitzvah saseh, shematan schara ksuva betzeda. Right, that the mitzvah betzida, that the mitzvah saseh, that the schar is written into the Torah. The schar is written into the Torah. It says, "Kabedes avicha v'esimecha, leman yarichun yamecha." So it already says in the Torah what the reward is, and therefore the klal is that Beis Din does not force someone to fulfill a mitzvah where the schar is already written into the Torah. That's found in a number of different mitzvos. But that's the opening sif. You're supposed to be very, very careful. And as we know, the Gemara tells us there's 3 shutfin ba'adam. There is the father, the mother, and the ribono shel olam. So if you were told that somebody, let's say somebody told you we're going to a business meeting, and I want you to come with me to the business meeting. Why? Because we're going to have a business meeting with John Smith. Ooh, John Smith. Could you be more generic? That's not very impressive sounding at all. Say, no, you don't understand. This is no ordinary John Smith. This guy, when he started off in business, was Warren Buffett's business partner. Buffett and he had a schutfuss, and they made all their big decisions together. So Buffett is Buffett. He's just John Smith, but still. He was a business partner at one time with Warren Buffett. So you may want to take some notes and get to know this guy a little bit if you want to know something about business. You understand the Nimshol? You say the Gemara says there's three shutfin ba'adam. There's three partners that go into making a human being. There's the father, the mother, and their Ribono Shel'olam. And obviously, al pi pashtus, we're just talking about biologically. That it takes a certain amount of biological help from the father and the mother, and it takes a certain help min hashamayim that these things should actually come to fruition, and you should have a healthy baby. This is something to be celebrated, and this is so we take this very, very seriously, and we realize that there was a chesed that was done. But on the flip side, the realization that we as children should have that this person is a shutuf with the Ribono Shel Olam. That in and of itself should give a certain amount of chashivas. A person is a shutuf to the Ribono Shel Olam. So, all right, so that maybe my father or mother, they're only the John Smiths of the business world. But they're partners with God Himself. That's something that really is something that should allow us to stop and take note. And I don't think the Gemara only means, physically speaking, they're shutfim with the Ribono Shel Olam. That's only the minimum sheba minimum that any parent can do. Right? That's only the minimum that any parent can do. They can give birth to you and then leave you on a doorstep somewhere, and they were still a little bit shutfin with their Ribono Shel Olam. Obviously, they could have done a better job, but they probably weren't the best partners Hashem ever had, but still, they were shutfin in this way. But it's so much more than that. It's in terms of providing for a person that we can't be kafui tov to every single time our heart beats. We have to realize the Ribono Shel Olam is making it happen. So too, we say, Amachadish b'chol yom tam in ma'asev reish, the Kadosh Baruch Hu recreates every single thing around us every single day. And this is something that we need to be very thankful to Hashem for. But in that area, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has shutfin, meaning just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us a world in which we live, and He provides everything for us, He provides us with air to breathe and health and all these other things, so too our parents take a tremendous role in aiding the Ribono Shel Olam Kaviyachal, in helping Him in some way to help provide that for us. And that's something we're supposed to take note of as well. It's not just that they're shutfin with the Ribono Shel Olam in the fact that we got here. They're shutfin with the Ribono Shel Olam the same way we can thank God that we were born and leave it at that, or we can realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly sustains us. So too, we can realize that our parents and this chasadim that they constantly do for us continue to sustain us as well. It's something we have to keep in mind. And therefore, the Gemara, if you learn the Gemara in Kiddushin in the early Daf Lamed's, you see the stress that the Tanoim and the Amoraim and Chazal put on Kibud Av Ve'Em and saying how you're never going to even come close to fulfilling that which your parents do for you. You're never going to come close to fulfilling that, the mitzvah. Kira'ui is something that the Shulchan Aruch starts off with, and it says we have to be extremely careful with them. And the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis and Sif Dalid goes through what is Mora, what is Kavod, right? And we know this already from Rashi on Chumash. Right, we know this from Rashi. What's kavod is basically what? We say kavod means honor your parents, right? So obviously that's a good English translation for the word kavod, but it's not really, kibud avayim is not really talking about honoring your parents. Really, mora avayim is more talking about honoring your parents. What is kibud avayim really talking about? Servicing your parents, right? Kavod is all about service. It's about doing positive things for your parents so that they can enjoy the fact that they had children. They can enjoy the fact that you are there to help service them, right? Mora is really about honor. It's not so much about fear as about respect, right? We say kibud avayim is all about respect. Really, mora avayim, halachically speaking, is more about respect, whereas kibud avayim is more about service. And So continuing this idea in Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch points out Ad Heichan Mora Am, right? How far do you have to go in respect? How far do you have to go in mora? So this is straight out of the Gemara. Hayahaben lavush chamudos. Let's say you were all dressed up. You're being honored at a dinner, right? As we all know, there are many, many dinners for many, many worthy organizations, and they have to find somebody to honor, right? Usually the guy getting honored feels the least honored out of everybody because he had to put in so much work to help raise money for this. He feels much more like a schlepper. Everybody else feels like they're honored to come to the dinner, and this guy feels like a schlepper because he worked so hard. You should just know that that next time you if you're Mekane, the person who was honored at the dinner, you should just realize he did a lot to deserve it in the end. He did a lot of work to raise a lot of money for the organization. Ad kedei kach that Rav Moshe has a tshuva about music. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Are you allowed to listen to music b'zman hazeh? So he's talking about different things based on Churban Beis Hamikdash. So he's talking about what about at a dinner? Let's say there's a Jewish organization has a dinner and they want to play music at the dinner. So he said he entertains the possibility that perhaps it's mutter to play music at the dinner because they're honoring somebody. So what? So are they honoring somebody? Yashar koach. He says, no, why are they honoring him? Because he worked so hard and he raised so much money for this Jewish institution. So it's really, it's almost like a siyum. It's almost like a sudas mitzvah in the sense that the honor that they're giving to a person who did mitzvos is maybe kedai, maybe it's enough to be matir playing music at the dinners. I think the olam is mekel. But the bottom line is that it's a big deal. And so let's say you're the guy. You worked really hard for this organization. You showed up in your finest, whatever kind of organization it was. I guess that depends on what you wear. You showed up in your finest suit, your finest tuxedo. You know, whatever you're wearing, you're looking good. You're looking sharp. And they're taking pictures of you. And the Yoshev Barosha Kol, and you're sitting at the dais up front. Ubo Aviv V'imo V'karu B'godav V'hikoal Rosho V'roku B'fonav. Right? So what happened? They ripped your fancy tuxedo. They slapped you upside the head and they spat in your face. Lo Yachlim Osam. You should not embarrass them back. Ela yishtok v'yira min melech malchei hamlochim shetzivo b'kach. Should remain silent, and you should fear the one above. You should fear the King of Kings who commanded you not to respond. Right. So, halavai, we should be zoche to even 10% of that level of mora avaim. But nevertheless, that's the level that Chazal lays out for us, and that's the level that the Shulchan Aruch paskins for us, that you have to try to realize that. Now, obviously, we all find ourselves in situations which are far, far worse than that, right? For example, you might be walking down the street with some friends, and your mother might say to you, "Hi, how are you? Ma, what are you trying to do to me? You're trying to ruin everything?" Saying literally, you see your life going down the toilet because your mother said hello to you in public. Because your friends might find out that you have a mother, and that's unacceptable on every level. And not only they might find out that you have a mother, they might find out that your mother loves you, and that you love her, God forbid. Right? So those three things cannot be known. Because it doesn't apply to every other member of your friends, right? That's clear that they don't have parents, God forbid. They don't have parents, and their parents certainly don't love them. And even if their parents would love them, they certainly would not love them back, right? So that's why you're so embarrassed. It makes sense. But nevertheless, you know, your parents, in this case, it's not the same thing. And the reason is because the parents, in the case of the Gemara, don't really need to be taught a lesson. Your parents need to be taught a lesson of how to act. And therefore, you're just doing them a favor and teaching them how to act. And it's really a public service. They should be thanking you, right? But l'maisa, you see that it's not so. You see that the Shulchan Aruch, despite the various logical arguments I've just laid out in front of you, the Shulchan Aruch disagrees and says that you're not allowed to say anything back. And if you feel that your parents have acted in a way that's out of line, so then you have your only recourse is to say, okay, really, my mother deserves for me to yell at her. But what can I do? The Rabbanu Shalom told me not to. If you can't fear your own parents, then you have to fear the Melech Malchei Hamlochim who commanded you to do so. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Nothing fancy. No additional interpretations are necessary. And that's how far Mora Aveim goes. And in addition, kibud av ve'eim is the same thing, that kibud av ve'eim is such that whatever your parents really want you to do for them, you have to try to do it. You have to try to do it, and you have to try your best to give them all the services that they require. Obviously, if they are they're well off physically and they're very healthy. So just you say, well, the Shulchan Aruch said, I have to help you out of the house. I have to bring you back into the house. You need to hold my arm when you cross the street. You want to be very frum, so you want to do everything the Gemara says. You want to do everything the Shulchan Aruch says. So you want to help them out. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what is considered kavod? Machilo mashkeu malbishu mechas. You say, Dad, time to get dressed. Here's your shoes. I brought you your shoes. Here, give me your foot. I'll put your shoes on. I'll put your socks on. I'll put your jacket on for you. So your dad's like, get out of here. I'm a grown man. I can dress myself. You know, he's not interested in you helping him. So obviously that doesn't count as kavod. It's only kavod in the way that they consider it to be the kavodik.
So one of the things for Mara is that you can't contradict
what you're right.
So how far does that go?
Really?
Let's say you have, like, the Shabbos table, and you're having a conversation, your parents say something, you disagree with them, so you can say your opinion, but is that considered disrespectful if it's not really...
So here's the thing. I'll read you the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch. It says, "Velo soser es dvarav, velo machria es dvarav befanav." Right? You should not contradict him. And not only that, you shouldn't paskin who's right. And he says, "Afilu lomar," even though there's an argument going on, you're not supposed to say, "Nirin divrei abba." It looks like my father is right. Meaning your father and his friend are having a discussion. They're debating whatever topic. And you try to say, no, you don't understand why my father is right. My father is right, and I'll tell you the reason. So you're not really allowed to do that. You're really supposed to say it in such a way that it's not clear that you're on the same level as your father. You're supposed to say, listen, my father said this, and you can ask his rishus. You can say, do I have rishus to interject an opinion? If he says, yeah, then you're allowed to say it. So too, if your father makes a mistake in halacha, so you're supposed to say that dad, didn't you teach me, right? Even if he personally didn't teach it to you, he sent you to yeshiva where maybe a rebbe taught it to you. So he says, but didn't you teach me that the halacha is like this? So you could say it in such a way that it's not confrontational, just the opposite. You're saying to your father, the only reason I know the halacha is because you taught it to me in the first place. So you have to do it in such a way that it's very clear. Now, obviously, most parents, when it comes to this sort of thing in the United States of America, most parents are mochel. Very rare you're going to have an old-time parent who's not mochel at all on any level of kavod whatsoever. Right? So there's big discussions in the postgame. How much can you be mochel? How much can you be mochel? So that's a big discussion. It goes from the Rishonim to the Achronim. It sounds very much like a parent does not have the right to be mochel on hitting. Parent does not have the right to be mochel on bizayon. But there are some clear rayas against that, even though the Riva, one of the Rishonim, I believe is the Rivash, I think he quotes it from the Ravid, also seems very clear that you're not allowed to be mochel on disgracing a parent, even though the father says, nah, call me Bob, don't call me Dad, call me by my first name. It's not so pashut that you're necessarily allowed to, if that would be considered a bizayon, which I think even in today's society it would still be considered a bizayon to call a parent by the first name. It's questionable in halacha. The Minchas Chinuch is mekel. Minchas Chinuch comes out lahakel, but the she'iltos and I think it's the Chuvas Rivash, B'shem the Ravid, they come out lahachmir, that you're not even if the parent wants to be mekel on a bizayon, they're not allowed to. I don't think contradicting the parent in at least a semi-respectful or at least a debating way is not bizayon to the parent. That's considered, for better or for worse, that's considered accepted in modern society, even for people who are respective of their parents. They still contradict their parents from time to time. But certainly not to get in their face and start screaming, you know, your opinion. So if your parents are mekel, are mochel on such a thing, then they have the right to be mochel, I think, according to everybody there. You should ask. You could ask. I mean, unless your father's going to get mad because you asked. Like, maybe he'll think that you're insulting him by asking, because then you'll think he's such a balgaiva that he... It's not a din in gaiva. Whatever. I don't want to talk too much about this yisod, but, you know, as a parent, you have to remember that you have the right to be mochel on your kavod, but that's not the Torah way per se. You should be mochel to an extent, But the Torah has a mitzvah for your children to do called kibud av v'aim. Let's say, for example, I'll ask my kid to do something, right? Assuming they actually listen. So I ask my kid to do something, to pass, let's say, pass the salt, right? So if my kid passes me the salt, it's a kiyum mitzvah min haTorah. Let's say there's a nice person at the table who hears me ask and he gets it himself. He's not doing anybody any favors. He stole a mitzvah d'oraisa from my kid. You know, he's not doing anybody any favors per se. He took it away. He took away the opportunity for this kid to do a mitzvah. So it's not always the biggest favor for a parent. It's a big favor for a parent, as we'll discuss shortly, to be mochel on a mitzvah that they know the kid's not going to be able to fulfill. Maybe it's a big inyan for that. But if they know that there's a good chance that the kid either will fulfill it or it can be trained to fulfill the mitzvah, you're not necessarily doing your kid any favors by being mochel on the mitzvah. Right, like I heard from a certain Rav, he said that standing up for the parents is just not done. It's not done anymore, you know. So some yeshivas and some institutions, they teach the kids you're supposed to stand up for your parents. I remember one of my friends in yeshiva once told me, said my daughter in such and such a school, every single time they taught her you're supposed to stand up for your father. Every single time I walk into the room, she stands up. Still doesn't listen to a word I say, but stands up every time I walk in the room. You know, okay, so that you can debate whether or not the chinuch is necessary, but I once heard from a very good piece of advice from a certain Rav. He said, have your kids stand up for you once a day, once a week, you know, just so they should know there is such a mitzvah. They shouldn't think that, like, there's no such thing. You know, like, it's lahavdil a little bit. There's a similar idea that some rabbanim want to institute. They should have one Shabbos a year that nobody carries. No matter where you live, you could have the most mahudir eruv in the world. Nobody carries on that one Shabbos. So that, shalot tishtakach toras eruv. You know, we shouldn't forget, or toras hotzah, the opposite. People shouldn't forget that one of the 39 malachas is hotzah. They shouldn't forget that half of Masechah Shabbos is dedicated to this malacha. You know? Yeah, I'm saying it's not a bad idea. So maybe in a similar way, maybe once a week, once a day, ask your kid, you know, the first time you see me in the morning, you should stand up. So you should realize there is such a mitzvah. It does exist. It's not, you know, it's not crazy to ask a kid to stand up. Okay. Obviously, it's a vast, vast topic. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. One thing I want to discuss is Benogeya to guys your age. So we know Sif Yud Gimel and Simon Reish Mem has the famous line, Talmud Torah Godol Mikvod Ava'im. Talmud Torah is greater than Kibbut Ava'im. And in Sif Chafhei, it says, let's say the Talmud Sherotzel Aleches L'Mokom Acher, right? So he says the Talmud wants to go learn in a different yeshiva. Shehu boteach sheyira simen bracha b'talmudo lifnei harav shesham. Right? So he says the son wants to learn in one yeshiva because he has a better rebbe there, and he says, and the father wants to stop him because he's afraid it's not safe or whatever. He says it's not the Shulchan Aruch's case. He says it's not safe. Einot tzarich lishmol la'aviv b'zeh. You don't have to listen to your father in this area. Right, because again, even if you think you'll see a bigger siman bracha and you're learning in a different yeshiva, you're technically allowed to listen. V'chein, says the Rama, also so too, if your father doesn't want you to marry a certain girl, you want to marry her, ain't tzarich lishmo al av, he quotes from Tshuvas Marik, you don't have to listen to your father if your father's objecting to the particular shidduch, you don't have to listen to your father under those circumstances. So these are two famous exceptions to the rule. Number one, if you in Talmud Torah. Number two, in Shiduchim, you're not mechuyev to listen. Now, let me tell you something. As a member of the parents' union, as a member of the Rebbeim's union, a lot of times your parents have a lot of intelligent things to tell you. So whether or not you're halachically mechuyev to listen, you should listen. Say, I'm not saying you have to necessarily agree. I'm not saying what the maskana has to be, but sometimes what you'll do is you'll shut down and you won't even hear what's being said. That's a huge mistake. You don't have to open up a Shulchan Aruch to realize that people who've lived longer and experienced much more, generally speaking, are much wiser than people who've lived less and experienced much less. They have a lot to offer in both areas, both in learning Torah and in Shiduchim. And that's something you should take very, very seriously, what your parents' opinion is. Now, that being said, Shulchan Aruch still says you're not mechuyev to listen. Now, the question is, so what does that mean? You just, like, does it mean you're allowed to just get up in their faces and say, I don't have to listen to you, I'm going to marry whomever I want, I'm going to learn wherever I want, it's not shaykh. So I want to tell you an interesting idea. There's a major Maggid Shir in Lakewood. He used to be a reshiva in Telz, Rav Sorotskin, and he has a sefer, Rinas Yitzchak. So I didn't see the original source, but in the sefer Rinas Yitzchak, he brings from the Balei Tosfos, who ask a kasha on the famous Medrash from Eliphaz. You know, Eliphaz chased down Yaakov Avinu, and what did he do? He said, I have to kill you. So Yaakov Avinu said, well, you can't kill me. You're not allowed to kill him. According to Torah, Shev Nitzvah Sunei Noach, you take it or leave it. You're not allowed to kill me. So he says, yeah, but my father told me I have to. It's keep it up aim. I have to listen. So Yaakov says, a pshar. He says, okay, so take all my money, and it'll be like I'm dead. So you'll be Mekayim, Esher Lekayim Shneim. You'll be Mekayim, your father's Tzivui, and also you'll have left me alive. So yeah. Also true. Okay, it's good kasha. Well, there is a discussion concerning this matter, but you could just say Stam. He learned from his father, Kibud Avim. He was very makban on Kibud Avim, just like he learned from he learned from Esav. That was his thing. Okay. Well, Maisa, he says, don't worry about it. So ask the Balei Tosfos. Rabbi Natan is quoted as asking this kasha. He said, I don't understand. We know the rule is that ish imo vav if tiro veshab sosai tishmaru ani Hashem. Right? So the Gemara Yevamos tells us that if your father tells you to do an Avera, you're not allowed to listen. So what does he have to play around? Ah, what am I going to do but keep it off the aim? Ah, no problem. I have a perfect solution for you. Just take all my money. What do you have to take all the money for? Just tell him the Drushas Chazal, right? Yaakov could be Mechav into the Drushas Chazal and it won't be a problem. Meaning, the Manav Shach, if you're going to say that he really cared about the mitzvah, so then why don't you just tell him? Why don't you just tell him the answer? You don't have to listen. Why is he trying so hard to be Mekayim the Tzibu of his father anyway? So you could argue, why are they Balei Tosfos hacking up this Medrash? Right? Why are they just, it's a Medrash. This is what happened. So why do you have to take it so seriously lahalacha for? But Lemaisa, the Balei Tosfos do take it seriously. We find this from time to time. The Balei Tosfos will take a Medrash and run with it. Right? That huge, you guys learn Ksuvis, so that huge Tosfos, the beginning of Ksuvis by Esther Farhesia, right? So they'll say, or that Tosfos in Ksuvis is called Velidra Shalhuda Nashari. The corresponding Tosfos in Sanhedrin is called Esther Farhesia Isa or Esther Karkolam Isa, right? So they take the Medrash of Mordechai and Esther being married and they run with it. And they say, like, they paskin halach, very important, shailas, halach or maisa, based on that Medrash. So here also, they ask a kasha based on the Medrash and they take it very, very seriously. And they say, why is it that Eliphaz had to try to do this? So he quotes a teretz, or the Riva quotes a teretz from another one of the Balei Tosfos that because even when a parent tells you to violate the Torah, so you're not allowed to listen. Why aren't you allowed to listen? Because Torah says you're not allowed to listen to your parents when they tell you to violate the Torah. But if you could find any way possible to still listen to the parents and not violate the Torah, you should do it. Because the whole, it's almost like the lamda shechilik we always make, especially in Hilchos Shabbos, between hutra and dechuya, right? In other words, if something is hutra, it's totally mutter, you don't have to worry about it, it's no problem. But if it's dechuya, so then really you're allowed to do it, but the isser is still there, and you have to try to work around the isser as much as possible. That's why a lot of doctors, when they have to be mechallel Shabbos to save a life, they still try to minimize the chil Shabbos as much as possible with different devices and different techniques, right? So they minimize the amount of, because we're choshish for the opinions in the Rishonim that Shabbos is only dechuya etzel pikuach nefesh. So too here, there's a concept of hutra and dechuya and kibud avim. So the Balei Tosfos suggest that maybe even in this case, when your father tells you to do an avera, even as bad as lo sirtzach, it's only dechuya. It's not hutra legamre. You're not just dad. I don't have to listen to you, right? You don't know what you're talking about. It's the opposite. He says that it's only dechuya. You have to try in any way possible without violating the Torah to keep the mitzvah as best as you possibly can. So it's a very interesting perspective. So Sorotskin says, yeah, but we see in the Rambam this is not so. So he says, why not? Because if you look in Hilchos Mamrim, which is where Kibud Av Ve'eim is found, in Perek Vav in Hilchos Mamrim, so the Rambam says in Halacha Yud Beis, Mi she'amar lo aviv lavor al divrei Torah, bein she'amar lo lavor al mitzvahs lo sasei o levato mitzvahsei, afilu shel divrei marei zelo yishmalo. You're not allowed to listen, even to an Issa D'Rabbanan. And I'll tell you further than that. I believe it's the Trumas HaDeshen of Paskins, even a minhag, that's a very old minhag. He's machalik. He says, let's say your father doesn't want you to do a minhag. Right? So, minhagim, we take very seriously as well. See, the case is a weird case. It's a case where the father and mother didn't like each other very much. So the father, after the mother died, the father said, I don't want you to say Kaddish for your mother. So what's the deal? I'm saying you have to, you're mechuyev al tzkibud aveim for the mother to say Kaddish, but l'maisa, she's not alive, and the kibud aveim for the living parent would probably beat the kibud aveim for the dead parent. But on the other hand, it's a pretty long-standing minhag to say Kaddish. So your father allowed to say, I think it's the Trumas HaDeshen, Paskin, you don't have to listen to the father in that case. You don't listen to the father in that case. You're because an old-time minhag like that, that's already has foundations in the Gemara, so that you don't, he says, if it's a new minhag, like your father says, I don't want you to eat gebrochs. Or you're not allowed to eat, I want you to dafka eat gebrochs. So whatever it is. I'm saying a very more new age minhag like that, I want you to yes have an upsharon, not have an upsharon. So that, probably you're mechuyev to listen to your father, but if it's an old time minhag like from the times of the Gemara, so then you're really you're not mechuyev to listen to the father. So that's how we paskin, like the Rambam, like the Trumas HaDeshen. So Saratzkin wanted to suggest that under those circumstances, you're still mechuyev. You should still be mechuyev to listen to your father if you hold that the iser of kibud aveim is only dechuyah. Why? Because what's the idea? The idea is that when it says in the Torah you can't do something versus kibud aveim. Okay, so if the kibud aveim is still there, it's just pushed off by the iser Torah. But that shouldn't apply to iserim derabbanan. It should only not be saying that if you held kibud aveim was dechuyah against other isurei Torah. So then it should only be, you know, that on an Issa Doraisa level, but an Issa Darabanan, a minhag, says for sure, if it's still around, it should beat up the minhag, it should beat up the Issa Doraisa, the Kibud Aveim should win the day. Unless you say Kibud Aveim doesn't exist in these parameters. So I don't know if that's so muchruch, because you could just argue that Eino Chinami, even in the cases where you don't have to listen to your parents about these things, you could still say Kibud Aveim is dechuya. You should still say Kibud Aveim is dechuya, but it's that there's a gzeiras hakasev that says anything which is begeder avodas Hashem, anything which is begeder be'eshab sosai tishmoru, the level that's considered avodas Hashem, ani Hashem kulchem chayav mechvodi, as the Gemara in Yavama says, that would be considered to be docha Kibud Aveim, even though the mitzvah of Kibud Aveim is still in existence. You could argue the lumbus back and forth. One thing you see from this entire cheshbon that the Baalei HaTosfos made is that certainly even in the cases where you're not mechuyev to listen to your parents, there's still room to argue that the mitzvah of Kibud Aveim is still there. Still, so one thing you have to realize is if that you find reason, either halachic reasons or ashkafic reasons, to debate something with your parents, to argue something with your parents, this certainly did not lift the general concept of Mora Aveim, of Kibud Aveim. You want to debate something, it has to be done in the most respectful of ways. It has to be done in understanding the same way that if it was so obvious to you that this is a test, Min HaShemayim, you're being tested on Kibud Aveim, like if your mother, God forbid, says hello to you on the street, right, and publicly embarrasses you like that, right? So you have to remember, okay, what can I do? The Rabbanu Shalom said I have to give cover to my mother, right? Or even perhaps even worse than that, the Shulchan Aruch case from the Gemara, that if your parents publicly embarrass you when you're being honored at a dinner and they rip your clothing so you have to stand in fear of the Rabbanu Shalom. So too, if you're arguing about a Torah concept, if you're arguing about you want to stay more time in Eretz Yisrael, less time in Eretz Yisrael, you want to go to this yeshiva, that yeshiva, it has to be done with an understanding that you could argue, the Baalei HaTosfos do argue, that the mitzvah of Kibud Aveim is only dechuya, not hutra. And therefore, all other parameters of Kibud Aveim are in place, despite the fact that in the end, if for some reason, and not always such a good reason, but for some reason you don't end up agreeing with your parents exactly, you're still mechuyev to be mechabed them in every way possible under these circumstances.